God bless you, everyone. I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to come here to meet you all. And I also have a greetings to you, to Brother Gan and to Gan, to Brother Gan, and to all your sisters and brothers in from Sister Isabel. She told me she sent her love and she said she prayed for you every day and she loves you very much. So, well, I am a Norwegian grown-up lady. I'm 64 years old and I was called by the Lord about 20 years or something, 18, 20 years ago. I was 46 years and I was deep in sin in the world. I have to go a little bit back. I was raised in a communist family and I didn't have any relationship to God or to Christ or nothing. And I got married when I was 17. I got two children, and I was divorced when I was 19. So I raised my children by myself and with the help of my parents. And I was thrown into the world with everything in the world. And actually, I was always wondering, what is this all about? Who am I? Where do I belong and where do I come from and why am I here? I didn't look for Christ or for Jesus or for God, you know. I went out in the world and I was looking every places, you know, and sometimes I find something but then no, this is not it. And then I was very desperate. I was in Copenhagen. I went there to do some worldly things. And I was really desperate. And I really thought, this is so boring, this life and this all these things I am doing. And I can't imagine that this is everything it's all about. So I was really crying out to God. And I cried and I cried and I really thought, God, you have to help me. I have to know more. There must be something more. And then suddenly one night I heard this voice inside of me, Jesus, Jesus. And I was thinking, Jesus, what? I was calling of God, you know, Jesus. Okay, I didn't understand anything, you know. And then it came to me, the Holy Spirit, and I still didn't understand. So I went to the library and found a lot of books, you know, when I was reading about the Holy Spirit. But what happened there was that I didn't want to go home. I wanted to stay in Denmark and. And I had some work, but suddenly the work stops and I couldn't have more income, so I had to go home. And I went home, and there I also have this desperate feeling about I have to be baptized. When I go home, I called some churches, Pentecost churches, you know. And I asked, is it possible for me to get baptized? Because I didn't know the difference of the baptizing. And they say, okay, are you a member? And I say, no. Well, then we have to call you back. But they never called me back, clearly. It was not the way I should be baptized. And then suddenly I met an old lady, you know, and she was in a message church, and I was really asking her, oh, can I come and listen and hear about this? Because I think well, I don't think. The Lord has given me really a hunger of something. So I was desperate again, you know. And they say, yes, she said, that's okay, but first I want to give you some books. And she gave me a book of Branham, about Branham and of Branham. And when I read this, I just knew, well, here it is. I didn't know what it was, but I knew, yes, this is it. This is it. And so I asked her, can I come to the church? And yes, she said, you're welcome. So I went to this church and, you know, as a coming from the world, you know, and have no experience, I listened to what the pastor was preaching, and I knew this is it, but I didn't know so very much about it. So, I'm sorry. So this, so I asked the pastor, because it was very into my mind, I have to be baptized. So I asked him at the first meeting, I said, I have to be baptized. And he said, well, you have to take it calm. You have to calm down. Maybe you have to be here for a while and then we can baptize you. Okay. And then after a month, I get baptized. And what's happened, you know, before the day before I got baptized, I was smoking, and I really talked to the Lord this evening and the night, and I said, Lord, I have to be clean. I can't go into this with all these unclean spirits inside of me. And during that night, you know, it was like he took away seven spirits or something. I don't know.
Amen.
So that was very, very strongly, and smoking was totally out of my mind for the rest of my time. So he has, in a way, he has guided me. I went into this Branhamism, you know, and I thought that this is it. This is it. Everything is about, you know. The Lord came to the prophet, and the prophet was here, and he had everything, and, you know. But then, during these years, I came to a group in another city of Norway. And then I thought we were talking about the Godhead, you know, and there was something inside of me that couldn't grasp what they were, how they were telling about the Godhead, you know. They said that Jesus had a previous, he has been with Logos before, you know. And for me, that was not that was something in me I couldn't that was something wrong. And then the Lord guided me into this website, you know, and I saw Buddha Gan's I saw the mystery of God. So I listened to that, and I thought, wow, this is really something totally different, totally new. And then I went in, I started reading Logos, you know, and then suddenly things, yes, this is it. This is how it is. Hold it. So, well, I might sound very, I don't know if you understand anything at all, but the Lord has guided me here. So I'm very, very grateful. I'm so overwhelmed. I can't actually explain it. I'm very grateful, and I also felt I had to go here to meet you and to really have it alive, you know. Because I haven't had this relationship to the Bible, you know. We have all these sermons of Brother Branham. So this is also a very new thing to me. So I'm just actually a baby. I'm so young in this, but I love it.
Amen.
I love the Word of God, you know, and I love to have the revelation and really come into it and see more and more. And so, yes. So I'm very, very, I'm very grateful to the Lord. He is really doing, and it's so late at the time, you know, and then when I'm thinking, no, maybe I have been tested, you know, all these years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I have this sometimes, it comes to me, wow. But I could never leave, you know, because I was so finished with all the world and everything. And I also have to tell you one last thing that happened. Because when I came into this first church in Norway, I got baptized, and some months after, because I was also into this medium and different things in the world, you know. And then when I was working in a hotel, there came one of the friends of me from this time, and he was a medium, you know. And he came to me and he said, I have a message for you. And I said, wow, well... But I'm a Christian, you know, and I can't do this anymore. But he said, well, I can't. I have a message. I try to avoid it, but I have to tell you. And I said, okay, we have to go to a room, and we went to a meeting room, and then he starts channeling something, and I was so clearly that this is not of the Lord, you know. This is of the devil. So I was just sitting there and actually not listening. I was so thrilled about all the situation. So the only thing I remember, and that was one sentence, and he said, this is not what I have. This is not the... where you are now, this is not what I have made for you. There is another thing for you, you know. And I didn't pray about it. I didn't do anything. I was just so convinced that this is the devil. And so I've also been thinking of that, you know, all these years. Maybe I should be here. Yeah, I don't know. But the Lord, He knows. He always find me. He always find me, and he guides me. And sometimes you can think that you are looking for him, but actually, I see he is looking for us, and he is looking for
Amen.
Me, and he is guiding me, and he is doing these things. So I'm so grateful. Thank you very much.
God bless you.
God bless you.
You know, what a medium. Sometimes God can use even a medium to pass a message, like what Abraham happened to Abraham when he got onto a bus. Now, if what the medium was trying to say, I mean, there's a whole lot of things that the medium can say, and then suddenly you say something that would be true. And whatever you have been, it's not for you. There's something better for you, you know. And that is that could be what the you know, the Lord could use the devil to, you know, to give you a message like that. And yet, subconsciously, you may not understand it. You know. And I'm very thankful for what God has been doing around the world. I'm glad that Sister Grady could come here. And the first 2 days, she was having a temperature, actually. But we thank God we had a good fellowship on Friday. And everything was fine, and we prayed for her. And yesterday, we had a little meal with her, and the temperature has gone away. Thank God for that. I know that other sisters and other brothers might want to come here, but I think that a lot of deterrence for them to come, because a long journey from the States or from Canada, you know, and we pray that the Lord make a way that it could come. Anyway, all right? So we thank God for that. So we stand for the song, and then we'll go straight into the message.
Learning to live in life.
Father above, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We praise the wonderful name. We bless you, O Lord. We glorify thy name, Lord. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Oh, what a big, great, wonderful, mighty God who loves each and every one of us as a father would their children, Lord. But we know that you love us far more than the father would. We thank you, Father, for this day now as we gather ourselves together and sit at your feet. Let thy word, Father, be manifest now in our life. Let it, O Lord, speak to us in this hour too, Father. Every day, not just on a Sunday, Lord. But each and every day we walk with thee. We ask for your grace to guide us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So I want to talk about faith a little bit. Let us go to the book of Hebrew. All right, let's go to the book of Hebrew, chapter 12, verse. Alright, the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 to 3 and says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Now, the title of the message today is The Cloud of Witnesses. Now, I want you to look at the first verse. I want to pick up some verses over in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 also. But look at this first verse here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, Bible here says witnesses, but I want you to know that the word witnesses is martyrs. Encompassed with a great crowd of martyrs. Now, when we think about what the martyrs means, we think about, well, you know, you're going to die with a head cut off or something like that. Martyr means one who is willing to stand for truth, for what he has seen, what you are witness, bearing all sorts of accusations or, you know, or names of blasphemy thrown at you. That's what he means by the word witnesses, martyr. So now let us go to chapter 11 and we want to look at some of these verses here, some of these martyrs, some of these witnesses. What, you know, God has written this down for us, because as the Bible said, they were set forth as an example and admonition for us. They have their footprint on the center of time, in the pathway of light, which they've been walking on, and, you know, they give us that example, and I can say that we are very, very fortunate. Because we live in this hour, you know, and they have no one to give their example to, to learn from. And so we are really privileged to say that. Chapter 11 of Hebrew. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a great report. Through faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen will not make of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his guilt, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, let's take the first case here. You know what faith is, alright? I think that we have to define what faith really is, because I think that especially, you know, when we are in the in this message. And my sister Gertie said to me, because that she was in this church and very Brahmic was saying, she always heard the preacher was saying, Brother Abraham said, Brother Abraham said, Brother Abraham said. And you know, you hear so much of it. Initially, when we came into the message, the first time, we were excited. Everyone was excited because we know this is something that you don't get to hear out there in the denomination. So when you hear on the tape what Brother Abraham said, you say, amen, this is true. That's it, you know. You can put on the table, Brother Branham, and listen to it, and you understand what it is. But when you go to church and you're a preacher that comes out with a whole lot of books, and you say, this book, Brother Branham said, this Brother Branham said, that, so you find that it can be very confusing because they are taking the statements out of the different sermon of Brother Branham to try to form a doctrine. And over time, when you listen, you realize something is not right. You all know that, don't you? Something is definitely not right. Now here we have this word here, faith. Now we know the programs say that faith is a revelation. Is that right? I mean, most of you who listen to programs would know that faith is a revelation. But what do you mean by faith is a revelation? And I have often heard from some of these friends of mine, and especially the preacher. When they teach something, and we know that it's not scriptural, when you ask them to prove it from scripture, they would tell me, oh, brother, God, it's a revelation. Either you have it or you don't. Yeah. You heard that before? Many of you don't hear it before. Okay. I heard it so often, I'm so sick of it. And they preach about two souls, and they prove it. It's a revelation. You know, either you get it or you don't get it. Back in 1976, where this Korean preacher came and told me that 1977 is going to be the end of the church and the rapture would have taken place. I said, no. He said, Brother, you don't believe Brother Branham? I said, I do. So if you say you do, then why don't you believe 1977 is going to end the whole church system, the world, and the rapture will take place and Christ will come back? I said, no, I don't believe that. That year is going to happen. You see. So you don't have a revelation on this. Now, they always talk about revelation. Faith is a revelation. Faith is a revelation. But let us look into what the Bible says here. It says in the first verse, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But when you talk about the evidence of things not seen, but yet the next verse says what? In verse 3, through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen will not make of things which do appear. So it means that there is some substance that we know that, yes, that is the evidence. Even though we don't see, we know because by looking at what God has done, there is something. So what is faith? Faith is trust. The word here in Hebrew or in Greek word is pistis. It means a trust. Okay, trust. Reliance. Persuasion. Credence. Constancy. Everything that is makes sense. Alright? A conviction that you know it is true because there is evidence of truth. Now, in the world today, I think you can see on the YouTube, whole lot of them, I think, because there has been a lot of discussion for the past several decades between Christian professor and atheist professor, evolutionist. And they will have debate, open debates in the university between, to find out the truth that is there such thing as a creator, or that there's things in the whole universe exists by itself. But for so many years now, there have been so many debates, and you know there have been a lot of atheists that are now awakened to the fact that there is a creator. There are several atheists like Francis Collins, or one of those great ones who was, they believe that things come by itself. After all the proof that showed to them, you know, even that, especially when it comes to talk about the DNA, the code, you know, how that a monkey will beget a monkey, and a monkey can never change to a human being. They know that when you cannot have a monkey turning into a human being unless you have put some code, inject some kind of a genetic code into the monkey's DNA, then it will turn into a human, if it is possible. They realized that. And so Francis Collins became a Christian. You know, and there are others. You know, Alan Flew, even Albert Penning, you know, the one who discovered the Bible numeric. He doesn't have to look at the DNA, but just look at the Bible, and he was convinced that there is the Creator. So what then is faith here? Faith is not, so we just simply say it's a revelation. We have to look into the Scripture to look at it carefully. Now, here we are, have these weaknesses that have gone before us, and I believe that if they were up there in the balcony of heaven, looking down on us, you know, okay, and surely they would all have a message for us. And each one of these characters here in this chapter 11, each of them, you know, God dealt with them in different ways. Alright. So now, when we look at this Cain issue, and Cain and Abel, in verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by his being dead yet speaketh. Now, he says that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That means to say that Cain's sacrifice was not bad, but only that Abel was more excellent. Now, have you heard that what people be saying that, oh, Cain did not have a revelation? You hear it so often. Really? In what sense mean that Cain did not have a revelation? If he did not have a revelation, then how come God said that his sacrifice was excellent, but only the Abel was more excellent? We don't just simply say that, oh, the person does not believe. Oh, for example, today, the denomination cannot see what we are seeing, the wonders of God, the supersede, that means, oh, they don't have a revelation. We brush it with our hand, we just brush it away, sweep it away. You know, do you really think so? That's what the same thing I was talking about, the atheists. Many of them in all this debate, they realize it's true, but they refuse to admit it. Right? And God sent them some delusion. Facts are there, not that they cannot see, but because they are so proud that they refuse to see it, to admit it. Because for years they have been fighting against the existence of a God, of a Creator. You see? Faith is something based on truth. You see it, you believe it. Francis Collins, after all these years of fighting against the fact that there was there's such thing as a Creator, he saw the whole thing. He said, you cannot deny this fact. Now, here we look at Cain and Abel. Second Thessalonians. We take the verse and we find out. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Alright? Chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Because they receive not the truth. Because with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them. Now the truth can be seen, but it's just that they refuse to accept and they deceive themselves. That's one thing. Okay, let's look into Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before your eyes, Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Who was Paul preaching to? This letter of Galatians, was it written to sinners out there in the streets of Galatia? Or was it written to the church in Galatia? If it was written to the church in Galatia, Paul called this Christian there. What happened to you people? Why you are so foolish? Who have bewitched you that somebody comes around and tells you that you should be circumcised and all these things? Right? And then what did he say further? That you should not obey the truth whose eyes, before whose eye, Jesus Christ have been evidently set for crucified among you. Who before your eye, you knew about it. Now you are turned around, instead of gaining grace, you go and follow some circumcision and say that you need to be saved by circumcised. You understand what he said? So you need to say, oh, it's a revelation. Come on, they are always based on truth. Revelation is not based on nonsense. I want you to know the fact. Huh? Isn't that true? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but they are factual. You know. That's why I think it was this Alan Flew is with the atheists. When he was dealing with DNA, when he saw the fact that they are all caught, you know, DNA, the chromosome, the DNA, the gene, the genome, and all that stuff, that they are all coded messages there. I wanted to tell you, you just imagine, okay, here you are born into the world, you come from a sperm of your father, the egg of a mother. There are, how many chromosomes there in each of them? When they mix together, you'll get a total of, I can't remember that, 46. Right? 46 chromosomes, 23 from each parent. So when they mix together, there's, God has already put the code there. You talk about computer. You talk about this programmer. Who have, you know, when they program all that, when I first started to learn this basic thing, you know, blah, blah, I don't understand. But look at now, the whole code is, you know, I don't know how many terabytes and wow. And everything is just in a little, not cheap there. And yet, when its program starts to tell it to work, it starts to bring it out. Now, a code message will go forth that will create a head. It will go forth to create the eye. Another code message will go forth and create nose and so forth. Is that right? So as long as the codes are there, it will do its job. So you cannot have a code that is not there to try to change it into something else. You can't. So when that's why, you see, these are all based on facts. And you can't change it. Like 1 plus 1 equals to 2. You can't change that. So now you look at that as facts. Let's go to the next verse. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You see that? You run well. Now you're not obeying the truth. You know, it does that some people say that, oh, this brother, he came to the truth, the message, believed everything, then he laughed. You know, he laughed and go back to denomination. So, oh, he doesn't have revelation in the first place. He was with us for 20 years. He go back into the war or whatever. He had no revelation in the first place. Really? There's something else that caused the person to backseat. It's something else that caused Judas Iscariot to sell out our Lord Jesus Christ. He had been with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, right? He had seen all the things that had been performed, the word that he had heard. Why did he betray him? Is it because, oh, you don't have revelation? You can just simply say things like that? No. You see, even when he saw Christ, he realized that he had betrayed innocent blood. And he repented, but he would not find a place for repentance. Knowing the truth, and yet you spurn it. You cannot say the person does not have revelation. That is not true. You see? It's just like a son. You know, born into the world, I mean, a father is not taking care of him or him or things like that, and it, the relationship between him and the father, you know, was bad. And so one day he thought, "You're not my father." Right? And the father was showing, "This is the birth certificate. I'm your father." "No, you are not my father. I don't have a revelation of you as my father." I mean, what does it mean? Does it make sense? You see, that's why I want to say one thing about this thing about the word that we utter. The word that simply we take and then we make a doctrine out of something like that. John chapter 3 and verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So that's why they love darkness rather than light. When the light comes into the world, they refuse them because they love darkness. Okay. Cain. Now, Cain was raised up in the house of Adam. Obviously, when they were growing up, I mean, I don't know whether that time the Bible didn't tell us, because there was not the law that Adam should sacrifice an animal, you know, every year or something like that. We do not know how they perform it. You see. And of course, Adam must have taught both these kids. Huh? Growing up, preteen, and then adulthood. So when Adam came for Cain and Abel to give their own sacrifice to the Lord. Now, Cain knew, because the father must have told them what they had done. Huh? Why they had to toil the field? Why thistles and thorns came forth? And what it means to sacrifice. But because Cain was a tiller of the ground, he had a nice, beautiful garden, a farm perhaps. Huh? I don't know, maybe how big a farm, I don't know. But he had nice big pumpkin, watermelon, mango, all the beautiful fruits and herbs of the field that he planted. You know. And of the Lord, here we have Abel. Hey, you don't have to plant, you don't have to toy, all you do is look after the sheep, the goat, the cattle, whatever. Time came now for them to offer. And so Cain said he knew it was blood. He knew God wanted the best. But in his mind, I can tell you, this is why men love darkness rather than light. You know what darkness is? Darkness is tradition. Darkness is anything that opposes God. Right? Hey, look, I have a PhD. DD. What do you have, Brother Gunn? Brother Gunn, what do you have, Brother Gunn? Brother Branham has a halo upon his head. What do you have? Brother Branham was vindicated. What do you have, Brother Gunn? So you think that you know better than Brother Branham? And people out there in the denomination, what Bible theological college did you go to? Do you have a degree in theology? You know what degree I have in my name? Richard Gunn, TBA. Not just BA, you know, BA means born again. TBA means truly born again. You know, as Bob would say, that unless if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't understand the Bible, which is practically true in one sense. Right? But your denomination will tell you, are you telling me that I don't have the Holy Spirit, that I don't know the Bible? I know you know, you know some of it. You see, they have revelation, they know some of it, but they oppose because they are in tradition. Tradition is darkness. Men would rather go to darkness. And that's what Cain is. He was so filled with pride. He said, "My hand is and that. I know God wants the best." But when they don't necessarily for blood, this would do. Vegetable juice, fruit juice would be just as good. You know, you want red, blood is red, okay, I have a watermelon. Or maybe dragon fruit is all red. I mean, human beings are such, they're carnal. That's why I said it's about carnality. No matter how righteous you think you are, there is always some time when the devil comes along and you know your prayer comes along, you have this carnality in you and you just drift back into darkness. How many of you can tell me here that you don't have evil thoughts? Huh? When people are upset, you have this frustration, you have this, I mean, that's kind of because, you know, hey, let's, you know, some of us are much more cool, you know, can keep cool, more cool than others. Right? Yeah, I know that's true, you know. Yeah, for me, I get a little hot-headed when I'm irritated by something that I see I don't like. But I have to keep calm. I have learned to keep calm. Right? You see, some people just look. Bochai, you know what I mean? Bocha, that's not my problem. You know what I mean? But you know, like my Joe was saying, you know, one time when the two fellows were having a dispute and he went down there and tried to separate them, and one of them just refused and he raised his voice and people said that he's the bad guy. Because nobody knows what happened. People just come later and saw him raising his voice, so they think he's the bad guy. You know, sometimes it's our attitude. The carnality can come in when you can create hatred. Dislike about something, it's okay. You hate sin, fine. You dislike sin, fine. You list out all the bad things, fine. But remember, don't get very upset that you want to kill the fellow. You know, what Jesus said about when you hate somebody, a brother, you already kill him. You know, that's what Christ emphasized the law greatly in this grace age. You know, you don't have to commit adultery literally. But just you look at a woman to lust after the woman for the wife or whatever, you already committed adultery and fornication, things like that. And you see a man having, just last yesterday, the news was out, $12 million total draw. Four person got this $12 million. So each person $3 million. Have you said, I wish I got it. You know. So when we look at it, we talk about Revelation. Alright. Let's go to the next one now. So, if he said Cain had no revelation, that is not true. What he had is such that he don't want to use blood, he don't want to use an animal, so he know the best, that God want the best, so he took the best from the garden. So that's why his sacrifice was excellent. You see? But the one thing is that he refused to shed blood. Cain! And no, God spoke to Cain, right? You know, your sacrifice is okay, but you know, if you have done it the right way, even the denomination today, if they have done it the right way, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ into the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Right? And if only the plan of mind will understand what the message is, they will come right back to the Word of God. Not holding to a man, this man, that man, all that. Even Paul said, what? There's schism in the church. What is that? I mean, you are a Peter, and this group is a Paul, and this one is Apollos. What is this? You know, the church doesn't belong to this man or that man. That's why there is no such thing as membership in the church. You see the whole thing all about. I still remember the time when my friend left this passage and went back and went to Presbyterian Church, and I attended Presbyterian Church for a couple of years, and one of the elders came up to him and said, hey, you have been with us so many years now, and you're feeding on the Word of God. Are you ready to be a member of this fellowship? A member of this church? You know, fill the form. You know, and then of course he was taken aback. He knew that was all these things just traditional thing. He said, no, I'm not going to sign nothing into a registered book of the church to be a member of the church. You see? And the elder was telling him, you'll be feeding on the Word of God all these years. So you all have been feeding here, huh? So you all better write your name in the book. Make sure I already told you, you make sure your name is in this book. Not any book. In this book. Alright. Okay, let us go right now next to the next person here we look at. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, you look at verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For first of all, he that comes to God must believe that he is. And he is real. Now, like this atheist that were converted to Christ. Alright? They must believe. Once they saw the evidence, yes, I have to believe. You have to confess that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There are a lot of people that don't seek God. Huh? Sure, God called you, God tugged at your heart. You must respond to seek back and go after him. That's Sister Gretty, you know, saying that, you know, oh, for 46 years, she became a Christian only about 40, when she was the age of 46, that's a long time, living in a world of sin. 46 years. Anybody longer than that here? No, we're all younger than her anyway. You see. But I'm glad that I knew Christ when I'm, you know, a little boy, and before I was 12 years old, I gave my heart to the Lord. So I could serve him, you know, when in my youth. You see. So when you look at this, there is a fact here, right? Without faith, it's impossible to feed him, to believe in him, to please him. But let us go to verse 5 about Enoch. Now, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch, among all those other patriarchs in his days, every one of those patriarchs, they walked with God. Don't tell me they didn't walk with God. They walked with God. It was the beginning of life at that time, right? The creation came, and you know, before the flood and all that. So those who, the firstborn, they must be very closely related. The firstborn, all of them. You see, I believe that all these other have their own sons, other sons and daughters. But in any way, they used to say that a father give birth to the first son, that's inherent. So he's always very close to the firstborn. The firstborn son married and have a grandson for him, for the grandfather, they will be very closely related. You see. So now, they must have all walked with God, but the Bible tells us that Enoch's walk was so close and he pleased God so much that God took him. So what is the difference? That's just why I'm saying that. What kind of walk did Enoch had compared to the other patriarch? That's so much close that he pleased God, that God had just translated him. There was an example here. For what purpose? I mean, as Paul said, all Israel are not Israel. All Christians are not Christian, obviously. Yet all Christians try to walk. They say, you know, I believe in Jesus. But what is your walk with the Lord? How do you walk with the Lord? Enoch walked with God. He pleased God. He had this testimony. The testimony. So do you have a testimony that you please God in your walk with God? That is how important it is. And he was translated. And it says here, by faith, Enoch was translated. He was walking with God so close, so such a relationship with God, that one day God spoke to him. Enoch, you're going home. You're coming home. Be ready. And he knew that he's going. When God said that, he believed it. He had the faith that he's going to be translated. But evidently, he didn't know when. He went home. He told the wife, the children, "You know what? My honey, my wife, my good wife, you know, every day I go out to work in the morning and I come back in the evening for dinner. Well, you know, you have packed my lunch and I go out there and work and I'll eat the lunch up there and then evening time I come back for my dinner. Every day I do that. But let me tell you, my wife, one day when I'm out there working and if I don't come back for dinner when the sun set, don't bother going out to look for my bones or find out where I'm lost. Or what animal had eaten, you know, ate me up or something. No, don't bother to go look for me. Because I won't be around. I'll be up there." And so, you know, every day I go up to work, he didn't know when, you know, just like him walking. How many of you have the faith that you are going up? Amen. But we do not know the day we were going. So we've got to make sure we keep walking a life that pleases God. A lot of Christians say, "I'm going to rapture." Yeah, but in Jesus Christ, I'm going to rapture. And then live their life that is just no different from the world. Huh? People are so religious. They just think that they can go. And that's why the Bible gives us so many examples. 12 disciples, one a devil. 11 left. Only 3 were given the special privilege of seeing the kingdom come with power in the Mount Transfiguration. And Jesus Christ told them, "When you go down, don't tell anybody about it." That's kind of strange. Jesus told the 3 disciples, "When you go down, don't tell anything. Just keep quiet." What did Jesus not want the rest to know? 12. One the devil. Love 11. 3. Taken to Mount Transfiguration to see the kingdom of God come with power. Then, only 1 had the revelation of Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos. Now we say God has favoritism. You know? I mean, we all, parents, all have favoritism, I believe. Do you have that, Sister Wilma? Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, well, when you have 2, you don't have much favoritism. But you have a whole bunch of them, maybe. Sister Lucy can tell, you know, you have a few, right? You got 6. So, you know, which you must have one is you have favorite. And until they broke your heart. We all have favoritism, you know, and God has favoritism too. What about King David? Did he not love King David so much? The apple of my eye. You see. So let us all be the apple of God's eye. Let us find favor with God. That's what it was. Let's go to the next one then. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Move with reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah. Okay, let me tell you this, Noah. I'm going to judge this world. And I'm going to cut the life of man down to 120 years. You know, I'm going to send rain to flood this whole earth. And you'll be ready to build an ark. Whenever you get ready, you just start to do whatever you need to do. You know, wow. A man who heard the voice of God in a time when there was no such thing as rain. Now, am I going crazy? You know, Noah, just imagine. Who ever heard of a rain coming in those days? Now here in Singapore we don't have earthquake. Have we ever had earthquake before in history? Huh? No. And then say, the Lord tells you, Brother John, that there's an earthquake coming. He goes, he's supposed to tell everybody. And they will think you're a young man. Won't it? You know, in the day when there was no rain, there was no such thing. And but Noah had that faith that God said so, he would do it. Only that he didn't know when the rain is going to come. So he prepared the ark to save his family. Why was building an ark? Of course, you know, people were curious, coming around, hey, you know, old man, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a boat. You know, God's going to send rain. You must be crazy, old man. What rain are you talking about? Oh, water that comes down from heaven. What? The water always comes up from the ground, right? And now you're saying the water is coming up from up there. Oh, it must be crazy. You know, who's, how, you become a laughing stock, you know what I mean? And I don't know whether Noah, when he built the ark, as he built the ark halfway, quarter way, halfway, and then people start laughing, and he must have a headache. And he must be telling the people, you know, God is said so, he would rain, you're going to destroy the earth. But they were just laughing, causing. And I don't know about his son. I mean, we don't say that in scripture, but I want you to just think the possibility. Huh? His wife. Are you sure? Look at the people laughing. And all the children there, and, you know, the three sons and their wife, they're looking at each other. Do we have father? It's okay. That, you know, that the faith that he had, because he heard from God. And he got this reverend and respect God's word and to save his family. He built the ark. And once it was finished, okay, and God says, Noah, now, take the animal 2x2. The animal 2x2? Okay, those animals are pretty wild, some of them already. You know, God did the miracles like it was in the days of Daniel. Shut up the lion's mouth. And a wild animal's mouth. And, wow, this guy, I think if he was living that day, okay, and I see these circles, you know, B&B circle, Barnum and Barnum or whatever, or Cirque du Soleil circle, Cirque du Soleil, you know, then the animal took my two, hey, look at that, man, a two little rabbit jumping, pop, 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 and then two little rats, little mouse, hey. But all these animals are just walking. Huh? The bear, oh my. You know, when you see all these things, if I was in that day when I saw all this, I think I will also walk into the ark. Huh? But then I probably would not because, this is some kind of a trick. You know, some kind of a trick, you know. And if I walk into the ark, then all my friends, who already before, together with me, we were making fun of Noah, jeering Noah. Not if I walk in, and they say, oh, you're a coward, you believe this old man? This is some kind of a trick, you know? Of course, in the circle, there are all kinds of tricks. Like you can see, the elephant do tricks. The bear do tricks. Yeah. Even the lion do tricks. So you must believe in it. You see, faith is something that when you have the evidence, you see, you should believe in it and follow it. But many times we don't, it's because of fear, because of our peer, the peer pressure. That's what we do. This is what's happening in the churches today. Huh? People get a book about the spoken word of William Branham. Don't read that, don't read that. They get the book Prophetic Revelation. Oh, no. Huh? And then a good example of Brother Andrew Peary. Remember I told you about? Before he was, before he had his own church, he was still, a student. And he went to the pastor's home in the library. And, the pastor has a lot of books of Branham and all that. So he was looking at the book and all that, and he put out a white book, but the pastor said, no, don't touch the white book. No, don't touch any of the white book. You can take any book and read it, but not that white book. Why? Because don't believe those things. Just some other book. He didn't know what was going on. Went on, looked, and then he took a yellow book. the orange one. I mean, not yellow book, but it's orange book. It's a finale. You take it out, right? So the pastor didn't know why. He went back and read it. He read that, then he realized the truth. You see? So when he saw the truth, but truth are facts. Okay? Then you must have faith to know that this is true. You believe in it, and God is going to show you. Without faith, you can never, never please God. But when you said you have faith, and you diligently seek Him, then you will be rewarded. You see? Well, that's interesting. That. Let us go on to the next one. So, in this case of Noah, Noah is just kind of giving us a message. Do not be afraid to believe what you believe in and work for it. And God will bring it to pass. Alright? Verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heir with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which have foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham. Go back to the time when after, you know, the flood, a couple of years down the road, God looked throughout the land of Mesopotamia. You know, after all, Nimrod has brought all the disaster and people all spread out all over the world. Now go look at Mesopotamia and he called Abraham. Now you know that God ordained whosoever he wants to eternal life. He chose whomever he will. Now he called Abraham. Now you must understand that in those days, the whole Mesopotamia, because what Nimrod did, there was a lot of idol worshippers, a lot of heathens, a lot of pagans. The truth of God, the religion of God, we're saying, that was handed from Adam all the way down, from Sam all the way down, was watered down. So much watered down that, like we read in the book of Judges, that we studied on Friday, that even though they call themselves Israel, or the people of God, many of these people, they worship Yahweh by using idols. And that's what happened in the early days, in the days when Enoch was born, that these Kenite people, with the knowledge that they had of Yahweh, they invoked the name of Yahweh upon their idols. Huh? And I think that is pretty true. That in Catholicism, Roman Catholicism, you realize that they have images and icons. They like to have a photo of Jesus Christ called the Sacred Heart. And they have an altar, and even an altar for Mary. They must have an image to look at to worship. Right? What about Branhamism? I've been to some of these churches when I went overseas, you know, and I was told to visit, so I visited some of these churches to see what they fellowship and how they minister. You can see always in front of the pulpit there, on the wall, a picture of Brother Branham with the halo, and on the other side you would have a horned head of Christ, right? Icon. And you saw that, which was shown to you last week or so, the baptism with photographs of Brother Branham above the head of the candidate. Now, isn't that sad? People must have been imaged. But the Bible tells us, Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. Believe me, woman, the hour is come that he that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and truth. But already started back in the time before the flood, that they cannot invoke the name of Yahweh upon idols, stones, and images, and they worship. So by the time it comes, came down all the way to after the flood and the Tower of Babel, all these things already happened, so much so. And then when God looked over Mesopotamia, almost everyone was involved in idolatry. Yes. But God chose Abraham. Want to separate him out. This is the beginning of something new. And Abraham was called obeying. Huh? He said here, he was called to go to a place that he should afterward receive for an inheritance, but he did not know where to go. And he had to trust God to lead him. And he was a stranger in the land of Canaan. What? This land belongs to me. I will have it for inheritance. I must be crazy. Look at the Canaanites. There are giants here and giants there. They are fierce people. They are big people. I mean, I'm just a shepherd. Huh? And of course, I have about some 300 men who are fighting there on my train. But look at all this here. But he believed. But he didn't know when God is going to give him the land. He doesn't know. He didn't know how God is going to give him the land. He just believed. Huh? You and I don't know when we're going to have our body change. Huh? We don't know how you're going to change. But we know that this body must change. And simply to say that before you change the body, going to be healthy. As Bob said, when you have no eye, you put on eye, no arm, put on arm. Something going to happen to make this body whole. Right? Sure. And I believe that when Lazarus, when he, you know, before he died, I don't know what sickness he had, besides after he died, what kind of disease, you know. Or whether Lazarus was a bit hunched or not. But the moment he rests, right, when Jesus said, come forth Lazarus, he come forth healthy. Not with all this shape like that. Now I believe that we're all going to have a healthy body before the Lord changed this body into a glorified body. In Abraham, it says further down, he, as a stranger, you don't have a house. We sing the song, this world is not my home, we're just passing through. We are a stranger. And truly Abraham was set for example. Walking in the land that is not his as yet. A stranger. Do you know the Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth? Do you know when we shall inherit this earth back? Because Christ already paid for the price. He has taken already the title deed in his hand. And all our name is right there. It belongs to us. You can show the Father, this all belongs to my people. I redeem everything back. Yes. But we're just walking here. Yeah, we're strangers in this world. It's not ours yet. We're just walking here. Huh? You know, we are citizens of two worlds. Right? Sister Gretty, you're a citizen of Norway. But you're a citizen of heaven too. But what is most important to you? Today the Singaporeans are very proud with the red passport. Every Singaporean is proud because it's a special passport, red passport. Right? I mean, compared to other countries, Singapore's passport is number two in the world. Yeah. See? But I don't want to wave that too much. Let me wave that. Where my passport? Amen. See my passport? This is what we want to be. We are already guaranteed citizenship. Isn't it right? With a passport to heaven. And a visa is for life. No expiry date on the passport. Okay, let's continue. Back to Hebrew again, chapter 11. Now, when he was working, and of course he don't have a place to stay, and they were all living out in tent. What is it by living in tabernacle? You know what tabernacle means? Tent. Tents are temporary. So you are here temporary. Am I not right? Then why are we so concerned a bit about our house, our car, our career? Why are we so concerned? And it's something. We're concerned about all these things, you see? But then next moment, you know, everyone packed the tanks and packed everything and then move to another place again. Yes. They continue journeying and let God lead the way. And in verse, interesting verse 10, Paul had this revelation. I mean, you don't find it in the Old Testament, as I said this. Paul said he looked for a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is not a man, it's God. Looking for a city. I mean, is it true? Was it true that Abraham was actually looking for a city? He was actually looking for a land. But why was he looking for a city? This city that he was looking, Paul was talking about figuratively or metaphorically to point to heaven. That is to say that, you know, when he was working out that God dealt with him, and one day God said to Abraham, "Oh, I'm going to give you a seat." Right? The first time he talked to him, you know, condescend. Oh, that's Israel, of course. You're talking about natural people because it's natural. But count the star. That's heavenward. Count the star if you can. I will make you father of nations. Father of many nations. Wow. If I'm a father of nations, many nations, wow, that means this cannot be an earthly thing. Right? How can I be a father of many nations? How could I be? I can only be a father of one nation. Like Lee Kuan Yew is a modern father, founder of Singapore, right? He cannot be a father of China or India, whatever. No, he can't. But Abraham became the father of many nations. Number four, when he heard what God said, he was looking for something not earthly up there. A city. We always use the word city. He said a country. A place, a location, a home. City is a home. Singapore is my home. My home is in Choa Chu Kang also. So when you talk about a city, it's a place that you dwell in. Huh. That's what everyone was looking for up there. So it teaches us, we should be like Abraham. That's what Paul used this to last week. But we're just stranger passing through this earth, this world. Our home is up there. Right? Yeah. So do not be so taken up with what should I eat? What should I wear? You know? See? Yes. Next verse. Sarah. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even a one, and him as good as dead. I mean, nothing can come out of it. So many as the stars of the skies in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and was persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were stranger and pilgrim on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now that is true, Paul. Sarah, look at Sarah's case first. You know, when God called Abraham, he didn't call Sarah. I want you to know that. He always deal with a man. He never deal with a woman. He always called. That's why headship is very important. Headship is always important. The man of the house must be the man of the house. Huh? Did you know that? When God called Abraham, Sarah was still an idol worshiper. You know. So when God, when Abraham shared with Sarah, oh, God promised this, God said, I'm going to be a father. I think Sarah will just be, oh my goodness, okay, okay. You know, what's the name of this God that you worship? You know, Yahweh, okay, all right. Thought it was Yahweh, was supposed to be true, but then, you know, no. She doesn't believe. How old was Abraham? Abraham, 74, 75. Sarai, 65. Right? 66, 67, 68, 69. Wow. No baby. My tummy is still okay. You know, still full. No sign of life yet. Right? 10 years? Still no. I don't know how often the Sarai talked to Abraham. Did you really hear from this Yahweh that you believe in? Of course, Abraham said, yes, of course. He promised. But it has been 10 years now. Next year is the 11th year. 11th year came. Same thing, asked the same question. 12 years came. You know what, oh man, I'm drying up. So I think you should take Hagar for a wife. For a turkey one, you know. Maybe that's what God was trying to tell you. But Abraham said, no, it is you. Only you. Through you, I was promised a son. That I'll be a father of this nation and a father of many nations. But Sarah could not believe. So it passed the Abraham. Nag, you know. Until Abraham got a earful, okay, you know, and this, I said, he loved Sarah. So, okay. So what happened? Ishmael was born. There was a thorn in the flesh. You know. And Sarah was, wow, I got finally a son. That's for her, right? But he wasn't a child. And the born woman was making fun of her. And you know what? It took a toll on her emotion. All right, old man, husband, please cast this one born woman out. Cast the son out as well. Wow, you know how painful that is? Abraham's own son, firstborn, though not by the wife, still a firstborn, was painful. But Sarah don't want anything to do with that. Been torn too often. Well, Barnes, 85, 95, 99 years old. And Sarah, 89 years old. So one day came three strangers. Of course, Abraham saw Abraham recognize these three strangers. But Sarah looked at all the 10. Oh, okay, some stranger. Abraham said, please sit for a while now, Lord, and now let me prepare your meal. So he went and, you know, prepared a meal. And I think the three strangers patiently waiting 1 hour before the food to cook, you know, I don't know, maybe 2 hours, sitting out there, you know, have a chit-chat, and Abraham perhaps come and talk to them a little while, go back and see whether the food's already, you know. And of course, Sarah behind the tent, I don't know what she was doing, but maybe she fried some vegetables or whatever. And then God spoke. God never spoke to Sarah. Remember that. Okay? Spoke to Abraham. Said, by this time, next year in the season of life, you will have a son. Sarah behind the tent. Oh my, do I still have a pleasure with my husband? God heard. I mean, I don't know how loud that she was, giggling or laughing, but God heard it and God spoke. Why did Sarah laugh? Abraham wasn't speaking to ask Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Just said, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah heard it. He's speaking to me. Then Sarah, in that instant, I believe in that instant, she realized that the promise that God had given to the husband How many years ago? 24 years ago. And now the same man here, that he entertained them. They are not strangers, but they are the angel of the Lord. And he spoke this to my heart. What is our love? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The instant just that question, what is our love? You know, she recognized. And that's what the Bible said. What did he say over here? Through faith, Sarah herself conceived strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. To what? To the husband. You know, sometimes God don't have to speak to you too many times. Sometimes God speaks too much and then you get fed up too. Some people don't like God, you know, when people go to church and they hear the preacher say this and say that, I heard this already last month. He said this again this month. You know, they get upset. But when God speaks to man, you know, I don't know how many times God spoke to Abraham, you know. Right? And Abraham believed, continued to believe. It is easy for the man to believe, but for a woman it's quite different. And so, God just speak to only Sarah only one time. Huh? With a question, what is Sarah love? Oh, she woke up to the fact that it is true. You see, anyone like this atheist, who don't believe that there is a creator, when they just look at all this, when they study the star and all this, the reasoning, when they see the Bible and whether it's true that you cannot run away anymore. The facts are there. You see? So the facts was before Sarah. All that the husband had been very in perseverance, believing constantly, that's what called faith. Constantly. Trust. Truth will always unfold itself. And so I believe that when you look at the scripture, any doctrine you teach from first year to the 20th, 30th, 50th year, there must be consistency. Because truth is not all a mess. They are all constants. You know what's constant? You know the number constant, number and all that stuff. You know, it doesn't change. And here Paul then later on said, all this, you know, they died in faith. Verse 13, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, was pursued of them and embraced them and confessed that they were stranger and pilgrim on the earth. Oh. They believe, but they have not received the promise such that was given them. Right? And they were just knowing that they are just stranger and pilgrim, must walk on this earth like pilgrim and stranger. They have not obtained the promises. Just imagine. They were looking for it, but they didn't get it yet. Here we are on this other side. We already seen it. We got it. You see? That's what Paul said. They without us are not being perfect. All looking forward, they haven't grabbed it yet. We looking backward, we saw it, we grabbed it. We hold it in our hand. They didn't. There's a John said, what's it, John? They said that we hold the word of life in our hand. We handle the word of life. You see? Because we saw that life hanging on the cross. Huh. They didn't see. They're so far off. Believe it. Verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he received the promise offered up by his only begotten son. Hey, that is what the beauty of it is. Abraham, come. Take your son Isaac. Yes, Lord. I want you to take him to Mount Moriah and sacrifice it for me. Huh? You know, a lot of people read, when I first read it, I say, oh my. What's in the mind of Abraham? What was in the mind of Abraham? You know, I mean, if I remember, he says, hey, Lord, you're not kidding me, are you? I opened it and said, Lord, you're not kidding me. But Abraham, for a moment, he must pause and think about it. Wait a minute. God is testing me. I know God is testing me. First of all, he promised me son. Must be the firstborn. And that through this seed, I will be the father of a nation. Now he's asking me to sacrifice him. Maybe if I sacrifice him, that means I cannot be a father of this nation. Ha! Now I got the revelation. Okay. He went and took the son. He know that if he sacrificed Isaac, God must raise him up again. Because the promise is in him. You know what I mean? Perhaps he already had that in the mind and he kept quiet. He didn't want to tell God that I know. Huh? So you bring it up to the altar to the Mount Moriah, bring everything ready, put the firewood and everything. Isaac said, that what is the sacrifice? And the father said, son, you are it. Me? Yes, son. You know, Isaac had been walking with Abraham very closely. Father and son, they always related to the understanding, huh? Revelation sharing. And Isaac perhaps also did not ask the father, are you kidding me? I've been sacrificed? You told me that I'm supposed to be the father. I know through me that you'll be the father of the nation. Perhaps he didn't ask. But you sit down and think about it for a while. Okay, I see what I'm looking at. My father had this promise and this. Oh, I'm not going to die. Okay, I'll lie down. When Abraham wanted to punch it, you know, God is testing every one of us too. You know. But the word that Abraham spoke, the Lord will provide. Wow. True enough, there was a ram caught in the thicket. Yeah. And this is precisely what God offered to Cain. If you have done well, right? You will accept it. If you have not done well, the sin offering is right there, before you. It's standing right before your door, right there. Take it. Do as you please. Sacrifice it for me. Because God always provides. Because Cain, you are a farmer. You cannot find a lamb for me. Okay, you don't want to purchase it from your brother Abel. That's okay. I provide it. Because I am always the provider. Huh? Is that right? He's the El Shaddai. Right. He supplies everything. Jehovah Jireh, that is to say. I'm the Lord, I'm the one who provides. It's like that. You see, the promise becomes very real. It's like, this man was an example that set before us. Believe, faith, trust. The word is true. He said so. Believe it. It's come. It must come to pass. Alright, let's continue. Of whom he said, let's read from verse 18. Of whom he was said that in Isaac should I seek me. A covenant that God was able to raise him up, of course, even from the day from when also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the son of Joseph, and worship living upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, make mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and give commandment concerning his born. By faith Moses. Now we pick Moses. We leave the other one. Pick Moses. For the last one we pick. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw him that he was a special child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptian sailing to do were drowned. Moses. Moses is one who was not afraid to suffer for Christ. Like Abraham, he was not afraid to step up in faith. Even his son Isaac was not afraid to die, even he had to die because God's going to raise him, because that was the promise. So Moses was not afraid to speak the truth, to suffer for what he stood for. You know, Moses was raised up in the Pharaoh's palace. By the time came that he realized who he was, that he was actually a Hebrew child, and he would just be willing to give up everything. You know, there's a lot of background to this period of time. That Moses was, very much loved there. So he could have been the next big guy in Egypt. But God had a work for him, and he was not afraid to speak when the time came for the truth. And they say here, he stood for Christ. Christ means the word, the anointed word, the truth that was given to him. How that, when he smoked the Egyptian soldier, he ran away, and God was actually bringing up that Midian to train him for 40 years. Now that's a long time. He spent 40 years in Egypt, and 40 years went out to Midian, and then he came back to deliver the children of Israel at the age of 80 years old. And he died at the age of 120. So now, he went through many trials. When God asked him to take the blood of the lamb and tell every family throughout the land of Goshen. And apparently, of course, news will go out to some Hebrew family too. And I believe that while the children of Israel were there in Egypt, in Goshen, there might be some of them that work as a domestic help in the Egyptian, among the Egyptians. And not only the Egyptians were there, there were also other races of people, the Persian, the Greek maybe there. Because the Bible said they came out mixed multitude. So when Moses issued the commandment that God gave him to take the lamb and apply the doorpost and roast it and eat it on that night and so on, the people obeyed. And he had to fulfill what God required, lest his own people would suffer as well. Now, all the time before this final ritual, we'll say the final sign was given to him, he was not afraid to stand before Pharaoh. Though, of course, he knew that this Pharaoh that was standing there was a different Pharaoh. But of course, the Pharaoh knew who he was. He wouldn't want to go back to Egypt and say anything that he to identify with them as one who was raised up there. But though he stood there before Pharaoh to identify with the children of Israel, and the children of Israel at that time they were slaves, right? And Pharaoh had control over them completely. Moses was not afraid. He feared God rather than men. He stood before Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. I guess Pharaoh must be laughing. It's going to be a joke. Let your people go. They are mine. But Moses approached the way and said, let my people go. God said, let my people go to go worship outside there. No. And then what happened? Through Moses, God performed all these signs and wonders. changing the snakes into serpent. And of course, Jenna and Gemma said, that's a trick, we know. Yeah? But then, of course, turning water to blood and changing lies, bringing forth lies and frogs and gnats and all that, of course, that's the power of signs of wonder get a bit too high and they couldn't do it. Until Pharaoh refused. That's just why I said this. The more that God tried to show man something, some kind of kindness and grace, the more men hardened their heart. Pharaoh says, no. Alright, final the last straw. Let my people go. For this night the devil is going to come. He will take the firstborn in every family. Unless the angel see the blood on the doorpost, he will not pass away. So that night, oh my, the firstborn of Pharaoh. You can look into history if you want. Who was that son that died? Mysterious death. And throughout the whole land of Egypt, there was a lot of screaming. But in Goshen, pretty calm, very quiet. People packed their thing in. And in fact, some of the Egyptian women who work as maid for the Egyptian family, received gifts from the Egyptian. Go, come on, go. Take this gold and all this gold. So no sooner, of course, Moses and the people left Egypt, Pharaoh sent his army after them. Look at verse, it says over here, verse 24. By faith, by what Moses had received from God, when he was come of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By that time he knew who he was. He had to cut time. Because why? He was a Hebrew. These are Egyptians. These are pagans. These are not my people. What in the book of 2 Corinthians? Let's go to Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 17. Wherefore come up from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out from among her. Moses would not identify himself with Pharaoh. There must be a separation. They are pagans. I cannot be identified with them. So if a man or a little boy is adopted as a baby by a pagan family, and then he grew up, because worshipping of God, not knowing whatever it is, they just worship. But when he came of age, when he began to realize about the true living God and give his heart to the Lord, what will happen? He will tell his parents, Dad, Mom, I'm a Christian. What? They'll be very upset, won't they? Sure. You cannot be a Christian. We are such and such in religion. But he will say, no, I believe this Jesus Christ is my Savior, is the Lord, the only God. No. Then what will he do? Cut ties, right? Separate. You have to separate. Even though you have been your adopted parents, they've been doing a lot of good for you when you're raising you up, but time comes when you need to separate, you have to separate. That's why the church says today in the last age, come up from among her, my people. Come up from mystery Babylon, so that you will not partake of her plague and her sin and all that. You see. So all these were some of the examples of weaknesses that we have. A whole great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. Martyrs. One who were, they were willing to stand for their faith and be identified and be counted with God. And I pray that this last day will be held. I don't know how many of you here do. Make a stand for the truth that you have received.
Do not be ashamed.
Amen? Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your love, for all that you are to us, Father. Again, we thank you for your precious word. It's so wonderful, Father, to know your love. And we are so privileged of people in this last day to be able to see what those heroes of old, how they have stood, Lord, for the truth and fought a good fight, for that which they were called into, Lord, to be sons and daughters of the living God. And we are very thankful, Father, for all these that were written down for our admonition. So we pray, Father, that we are worthy of the gospel, Father. Help us to always remember who we are and walk in the light of God's word. We thank you, Father, for today in Jesus' name. Amen.